The moon affects tides and possibly the government's retail sales figures due this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Easter and Passover are weirdly late this year. These are movable holidays guided by the lunar calendar. But corporate accounting doesn't know from lunar calendars. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports on possible effects on profits.
Easter, the holiday, is sacred, but Easter, the shopping season, is also sacred.
We're expecting about $16 billion to be spent on everything from candy to decorations and even new apparel.
Kathy Granis is with the National Retail Federation. Now, it just so happens that last year Easter was in quarter one, and this year it will be in quarter two. So quarter one earnings, and March earnings for that matter, were lower this year.
When financial analysts fail to recognize the shift in the holiday on the calendar, they proclaim Q1 as being burdened with poor results. And then, of course, in Q2, everyone looks like a genius.
That's Mark Cohen of Columbia Business School. But apart from illusions of sales or lack thereof, there is one way a later Easter might actually be helpful, says Michael Polzine with Walgreens.
There's a better chance of warm weather. So I think that helps with things like Easter egg hunts, decorations.
And while you're out shopping for cream eggs, maybe you'll buy a grill, too. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Checking the readouts from markets. The FT 100 in London is down 0.4% right now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down. Millions of people in the Chinese city of Lanzhou are scrambling to buy bottled water at inflated prices after the city's water supply was contaminated with benzene. Levels of the cancer-causing chemical in the city's tap water were found to be 20 times China's national limit. Officials were telling people to heat the water outside in the hopes the benzene will boil off. We're joined by Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, David.
How did the water supply for such a big city get this contaminated?
Yeah, you know, Lanzhou officials are blaming two explosions, one of them 27 years ago, the other 12 years ago at oil refineries in the area. They say these explosions caused oil to slowly seep into the groundwater over the years, and that this sudden rise in levels of benzene shows this decades-old oil is now contaminating the city's water supply.
Now, what does this say about how much China's prioritizing the protection of the environment?
Well, you know, just a month ago, Premier Li Keqiang announced China's government would declare a war on pollution. But according to many here, it's already sort of losing that war. I spoke to Greenpeace China's Du Xia today about this, and here's what she said.
Nearly 80% chemical industries are built in the densely populated city areas. The government should take more prevention to manage these chemical industries.
And the government in Lanzhou should have informed the public much earlier than they did about this water contamination. The state media is now reporting that city officials waited 9 days to tell the public that their water was contaminated. Fortunately, the government there now says water quality in the city is returning back to normal.
Returning back to normal. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Pay for college. Parents fill out the form for what's called a Parent Plus loan. They're easy to get, although the interest rate isn't as low as the ones for the students themselves. But here's the thing. Parent Plus loans rack up semester by semester, and now the Department of Education is worried it's too easy for low-income parents to get in over their heads. Kate Davidson reports.
The thing about Parent Plus loans is they're not based on income. Pass a credit check and you can borrow up to the full cost of attendance. Parents don't have to prove they can actually repay.
At the time, I was happy to get it.
That's how 56-year-old Barbara Jones of Boston took out more than $100,000 in loans she can't afford.
Because then, if you didn't get that, then what would you do? You know, how would you keep your child in school? How would you pay it if you didn't have any other option than the Parent Plus loan?
Now, millions of parents take out PLUS loans. They're a tool to promote college access. But Rachel Fishman of the New America Foundation worries it's too easy for low and moderate income families to borrow too much.
And that really puts the federal government in a dangerous position of telling them, sure, you can do that. You can mortgage your future. You're really close to retirement and we can garnish your Social Security, but fine, we're going to let you take on a loan for $20,000, $30,000.
We absolutely don't want parents to get in over their head.
Cheryl Smith works with the United Negro College Fund, which lobbies for private, historically black colleges and universities.
That's why we think there should be a counseling program. At the same time, we don't think we should be paternalistic.
You see, the government already tightened the credit check for Parent PLUS loans back in 2011. HBCUs have a lot of low-income students, and Smith says attendance fell and schools lost millions in revenue.
Directly attributable to fewer students being able to get a Parent PLUS loan.
Even though parents still don't have to prove they can repay their PLUS loans, Smith says now it's too hard to get one. Still, the larger community is conflicted. Johnny Taylor heads the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. He thinks at a certain point, PLUS loans should be capped.
Heretofore, we have said to students, pick the school that you want to attend. And frankly, the narrative may change to pick the school that you can afford to attend.
It's a narrative unfolding within the Department of Education, too, which is considering changes to the rules this spring. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
And now a moment where we pause to do a visualization together. Deep breath and search your mind for where you were a year ago tomorrow. What do you see in your mind's eye? Drab cinder block walls, a line of sad people, why it is a U.S. post office. A year ago tomorrow, you were wishing you had mailed your tax returns on any other day except on the IRS tax deadline. Today is April 14th. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.